It's not a frog. It's not a frog. What do I have in my bowl?
Dandelion.
I have a dandelion. I dug the whole plant up this morning. And do you ever go into your yard or somebody's yard and pick a dandelion? You can go give it to your mom or give it to somebody or put them in a jar. And they're very pretty for a little bit. They're bright yellow. But what happens if you go and pick it and give it to your mom? What will happen to this flower?
Eventually it will die.
Yes, it will. It will. But if it stays part of its plant, do you know what happens to the dandelion flower? Have you seen them when they go further? What happens to them? Do you know, Anna? Do you ever see the little puff balls? They're real light and fuzzy and feathery, and you can go.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's what happens to this. If we leave it part of the plant, it will continue to get food from the roots and the leaves, and it will produce seeds that will go make other dandelions, which is one of the reasons why some people want to hurry up and cut them all down, so they don't make other seeds. One time when Jesus was telling us stories, he talked about he called himself a plant and said we were his branches. And he said we needed to stay with him. We needed to be part of him. And if we were part of him, then we would spread his love around. And he talked about it like a plant. And if you take the dandelion away, it might look pretty for a while, but it won't be healthy and it won't keep growing, right? And he said that we have to stay connected to him so that we can spread God's love around. And we do that by praying, by learning more about Jesus, and by thinking about the things that we do and trying to think about how Jesus would judge them. I mean, would Jesus think it was a good thing I did at recess? How could I better talk to my mom? Things like that. And if you think about staying with what Jesus wants for us, then we can show his love in the world better. Does that make sense? So thinking more about Jesus, spending more time with Jesus and praying more, we can show God's love more in the world. All right? Okay, we still have bird seed and Play-Doh and cool things up there if you want. We're going to say a prayer, and Mr. Bill has plants for you downstairs, okay? Jesus, we thank you for these children. We thank you for all our children. We thank you for the children around the world and ask that you provide for them, protect them, keep them safe and healthy and growing and learning. Keep us in touch with you so that we may share God's love all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Anna. Alex. Let us pray. God Almighty, Creator God, we worship you. We seek to abide in you, to be fed by you, to learn from you. We bless you for mercy, plenty, and peace. We ask you to bring your justice, healing, and wholeness to our families, our church, our nation, and your world. Jesus, Savior, may we learn your ways. Help us grow in godly ways. Help us bear good fruit, patience, charity, compassion, and humility. Spirit of God, move through us. Change us. Make us new. Make us yours. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ. Through prayer and study, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of this church. They are here for service to Jesus Christ using the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows. Come around this way a little bit. And I have questions, and I will tell you the answers. Emily, Karen, Tom, do you desire to affirm your baptism into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, say, I do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the church. Today, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and this place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home, and we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this local church as it serves this community and the world? If so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Let us unite with the church in all times and places in confessing our faith in the triune God. We're going to turn to number 885 in the back of your hymnal. Will the congregation please stand, and we'll join together in the reading of the UCC Statement of Faith. We believe in you, O God, Eternal Spirit, God of our Savior Jesus Christ and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. And let us, the members of St. John's United Church of Christ, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. Please join in the reading from our bulletin. We welcome you with joy in the common life of the church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior Amen. Let us pray. O God, we praise you for calling us to faith and for gathering us into the church, the body of Christ. We thank you for your people gathered in this local church and rejoice that you have increased our community of faith. Together may we live in the Spirit, building one another up in love, sharing in the life and worship of the church, and serving the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the people say, Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of St. John's United Church of Christ, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Welcome, Emily. Welcome, Karen. Welcome, Tom. Jesus is teaching in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Here ends the reading from John 15. My message this day is called Bearing Fruit. Jesus told his followers to abide in his love. Abide means to stay in or remain in, as we abide near the river or abide by our marriage vows. It also means to submit to. We abide by the court's decision. We abide by the teachings of Christ. And to abide with Jesus day after day means to dwell in him, to live and breathe, aware of him, connected to all he asked of us. Abiding is not on again, off again. To abide in Jesus is to remain in Jesus 24/7. To drench every choice, every act, every word in his justice, his mercy, his peace, his love. Reverend Jason Biasi says to abide is to be organically united one to another so that one can no longer be understood without the other. Try to imagine that. Imagine that when acquaintances discuss Jesus, they think of you. They speak your name. And when your neighbors are chatting about you, the name of Jesus comes up. Oh, you'd like him. He's a lot like Jesus. Living like Jesus? Unrealistic, right? Oh, we cannot be perfect. However, we can pause before we speak our opinions and consider what a peaceful, welcoming, caring Savior might say. Jesus expected people to give and admired that poor widow who gave her last penny. Can we live there, abiding in Jesus? Jesus reminded us how God forgives, to call all of us to forgiveness and reconciliation. He taught us peace and showed us how. Peace in daily life means no anxiety about material needs or the future. Peace in crisis. Jesus remained nonviolent even when they arrested, tried, and executed him. Biasi writes that if we abide in Jesus, live and breathe in his way of living, we will no longer even think about it. Deeply rooted in the vine, we would not even think about whether we should be connected to Jesus any more than a leaf has to be told to stay on the tree. And how can we tell?
They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love.
The chief sign is our love. Remember that Jesus told us to love one another. He told us to love our neighbors and even our enemies.
The New Testament has several kinds of books. The Gospels tell the words and actions of Jesus. Acts of the Apostles is a history of the early church. And then there's lots of advice from Paul and later writers. The advice tells the early Christians how to live like Christ. Mary read from the letter called 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. God's love was revealed among us in His way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him.
Lucky us. We got to see and feel God's love in the flesh when Jesus walked among us. And we get to live through the lens of Jesus.
If we live in Jesus, we get to see creation and every single person through God's love. That love Jesus brought us is perfect love. 1 John declares that perfect love casts out fear. Imagine living in Christ with such abandon, so completely that you fear nothing. You do not fear poverty, change, or old age. You do not fear for your children or your job. You do not fear the future or even death. Perfect love casts out fear.
Grapevine and branches.
In the Near East, grapes have been farmed and tended for 7,000 years. The oldest known winery is in Armenia, planted 4,000 years ago. Jesus calls himself the grapevine. Vitis vinifera is the fruiting vine from which we make wine. Vitis is the botanical name for grape. Vita is the root word for life, as Jesus is our root. Just under the tough outer skin of the grapevine are two life-giving layers. The xylem brings water and nutrients up from the roots. The phloem shares the sugars, the bounty of photosynthesis from the leaves back to the rest of the plant, including those little budding grapes. Unimpeded flow, up and down, taking in, giving out. Think about cut flowers, from dandelions to roses, beautiful colors, heavenly scents, and then they die. Cut off from their lifeblood, they wilt and crumble. And what happens to the flowers you leave in your yard? They bloom. They call the neighborhood bees to come hither. They are colorful and fragrant, and they live out their purpose. They fruit, they multiply, they spread themselves around. They share the wealth. And those bountiful seeds will do it all again in the next generation. Colorful, fragrant, they bear fruit, multiply, and share the wealth. We can too. In what ways did Jesus teach us to connect? Jesus loved in community, where our habits and preferences tend to annoy each other. I like it this way. Well, I like it the right way. Good thing we love each other. Jesus sat down with all sorts of people. Lepers, people who had leprosy back then, had to call out that they were unclean so no one would accidentally come near. Jesus reached out and put his hands on them, bringing healing, bringing them back into community. Against all the rules, this Jewish rabbi ate with the poor, sinners, the outcasts, even women. Yes, indeed, practicing what he preached made his love obvious. Touch people,
Sit down to eat with all kinds of people. Look people in the eye. Love people, even if you do not like them. Meister Eckhart wrote that a plum tree produces plums not because it wants to, but because that is its nature. Plum trees give plums. So the people gathered to worship Jesus with roots deep in his love naturally channel his goodness. Partaking of Christ, allowing the being of Christ to flow unimpeded into all the branches, produces what it, by its nature, must: godly fruit of compassion, loving kindness, mercy, patience, wisdom, love. How do we get there? How can we be rooted in Jesus Christ, deeply connected to great love? Practice and prayer. Are we open to correction? Do we listen to wise ones and strive to be more loving? Practice. Learn to do better. One of my most challenging homework assignments in seminary was to be in prayer 30 minutes nonstop every day. At first it seemed impossible. So many other things come to mind. And then I grew to love it and the way I felt afterwards. Prayer, speaking and listening. Practice and prayer, abiding in love. The lesson from 1 John says, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." Does that seem unfair? If you do not love one another, you do not love God. In the first few centuries after Jesus walked the earth, religious hermits could be found all around the Mediterranean, praying alone in caves or desert rock piles. Then fewer and fewer hermits. Nuns and monks, even those shut off from the wider world, had to learn to live together. They had to put up with lousy food and drafty cells. They had to put up with sisters chattering and brothers' bad table manners. For it turns out, we need to rub each other the wrong way. We need to learn to love each other, warts and all. In the presence of everyone else's imperfection, we become aware of our own. When it sinks in that, glory be, God still loves us when we are slow, rude, careless, and unloving, we have our roots in the vine, and we can truly begin to love God and love one another. The Apostle Paul waxed poetic in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." All on our own, far from Jesus, he says we can do nothing. Nothing. We can tell, can't we? Some Christians just give off love. They have no more walls between God and neighbor. God's love readily pours through them. God's love pours out on a hurting world. Abide in Jesus and bear good fruit, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen.
With your roots in Jesus Christ, go into the world and spread that love around. Go in peace. Thank you.